Sorry. Good morning, everybody. Well, it's really good to see most of the seats filled. You will find out shortly why. Okay, so as an introduction, this sounds very loud. You think it's, yeah. As an introduction to our topic, food for thought this morning, I thought I would just read you the following. It has been observed that the Japanese eat very little fat and suffer fewer heart attacks than the English. The Mexicans eat a lot of fat and suffer fewer heart attacks than the English. The Chinese drink very little red wine and suffer fewer heart attacks than the English. The Italians drink loads of red wine and suffer fewer heart attacks than the English. The Germans eat a lot of sausage and consume a lot of salt and suffer fewer heart attacks than the English. Conclusion. Eat and drink as much as you like of whatever you like, because apparently it's speaking English that kills you. Yeah, who'd have thought it? Okay, right, now. So, have we got any children sort of people around this morning? Yes? Right, well, that's good, because the next thing that we're going to do is I've hidden some sweet things under the chairs. So everybody is free to look to see if they're the chosen ones that have sweet, but the children actually... Oh, no, Kevin. Did you get the chewing gum? Yes? So you might want to check the empty chairs to see if they've got any treasure underneath. Yes? Yes? Check the chairs that are empty. Children, this is probably where you can get in on the act and check the chairs. Yeah? What? No. Well, if you want to go and sit down there and check the empty chairs, you can, Roger. Sorry. You see... Because when I hid the sweets, they were busy practicing and I wouldn't dare have gone on the stage. So was that a nice surprise? Yes? Yes. Okay. So in our story today, we have somebody who... Yeah. Oh, yes. They're gluten-free but not dairy-free, if that makes any difference to anybody. Pardon? No. Sorry to the four of you in the balcony. I didn't put any up there either. See, you should have been using the chairs down here. Okay, so. Yes, it's time for you. Oh, what have you got?
I found your money you've lost.
You have my money?
Yes.
What do you think you're doing with my money?
I found it.
You found it? Really?
Yes.
Really found it?
I really found it. There you go.
How did you feel when you knew you had my money?
I was excited because I found it and I knew you'd lost it.
But what if I hadn't lost it? Exactly.
I might have felt bad.
Yes. Yes. But hey, everything has a happy ending. There you are. You can keep it. It's my gift to you. Bless you. Thank you for being. Thank you for being so honest. I knew this handheld mic wasn't going to be a good idea. Yeah, what? Don't shake your head, Jackie. It's not all over yet. Yeah. So this might give us a bit of a clue as to what the story is going to be about this week. So could we show the film clip now, please, person in charge of that?
Joseph was the hero of Egypt. Wherever he went, crowds would cheer. But drought knows no boundaries, and soon lands nearby to Egypt were caught up in the terrible famine. Canaan, too, was struck by nature's curse.
My sons, our farm is barren. The whole of Canaan is dry and desolate.
What can we do, Father?
I've heard Egypt has much spare grain. A wise governor ordered it stored during the good years.
But how can that help us?
I am sending all of you to Egypt, except for you, Benjamin. I want you to buy some grain from this wise governor.
A good plan, Father. We'll leave at once.
Father, I want to go too.
No, Benjamin. Joseph was taken from me. I couldn't bear to lose you as well. Go now. The sooner, the better.
During the terrible famine, many people sought help from Joseph. The next appointment, some shepherds from Canaan. They're brothers, and they wish an audience with you.
From Canaan? How many brothers?
It says there are 10, from a family of 12.
12? Send them in! Send them in!
Enter!
My brothers. My dream has been fulfilled.
Joseph, are you all right?
Ramas, these are my brothers.
What?
Shh! I don't want them to know who I am. They'll recognize my voice. You talk for me.
Sir, we come from Canaan and seek your help.
Ask what happened to their other brothers.
You say there are 12 brothers, but only 10 stand before the governor. Where are the other two?
Benjamin, the youngest brother, is still with our father in Canaan. Our other brother is dead.
Benjamin is safe. Thank the Lord. Ask them what happened to the other brother.
How is it that one of your brothers is dead?
He was taken by wild beasts.
Yes. He was taken by wild beasts. Yes.
Governor Zaphnath thinks you are nothing more than liars and spies.
No! No!
This is not so!
The governor orders 9 of you to stay in Egypt while 1 returns to fetch your youngest brother. If you do this, you will prove you are honorable men.
But, sir, we're not spies.
We swear it!
Governor, our father would die if we took away his youngest son. His heart has been broken already.
We cannot do it.
Then you are to be jailed. Guards, take them away. For 3 days, Joseph agonized over how to treat his brothers. After praying to his God, he made up his mind. The governor has decided. You are free to go home, but one of you must stay here until Benjamin is brought before him. And if you ever need grain again, Benjamin must accompany you. I'll leave you to decide on your actions.
Maybe we're being punished for what we did to Joseph.
I warned you not to harm him. You should have listened to me.
Joseph got what he deserved. This has nothing to do with Joseph. We will do as the governor wants. One of us will stay, and the rest can return to Canaan. And no more talk of Joseph. He is dead, and that's all there is to it.
Joseph was as good as his word. The brothers got the wheat they wanted. And Joseph chose his brother Simeon to remain behind. And then Joseph asked me to do something most strange. When the brothers got back to Canaan, they were in for a surprise.
Father, look! A gold coin!
Here as well! And here! Look, another one!
Father!
Hey!
Oh, more here!
Turn to us!
Yes! We've got it all, Carlo! Look!
Yes! I don't understand this governor. He keeps my son Simeon. He wants my son Benjamin. And now he refuses my payment for his grain. I don't know what to do.
Father, let me go to Egypt. Then he'll release Simeon.
No! I will not lose another son. You stay.
But the drought continued. And as the family's grain store was used up, Jacob was left with no option.
Benjamin, you are to go to Egypt with Judah and Reuben.
Yes, Father.
I don't know why this governor wants to see you. But we'll have to trust in his honesty.
With a heavy heart, Jacob farewelled his three sons. He feared the worst, but he knew his family would starve without the grain from Egypt. The journey through the parched desert was very difficult. Eventually, the travelers arrived at their destination. Benjamin, Judah, Reuben, you may enter.
Benjamin, you are safe.
The governor is pleased at your return. Your brother Simeon will be released immediately.
Thank you, Governor.
The governor would like to know about your father. Is he still alive?
Yes, our father is alive and well, but our family desperately needs grain.
We've brought money to buy grain and to pay you for our last purchase.
Somehow, the money we paid you appeared again in our sacks. Thank the governor for his kindness. Our father will be much pleased.
Okay, we'll stop the story there. because we've got a next instalment next week, haven't we? So we mustn't spoil a surprise. Yeah, so could the Jam youngsters come up the front and just help me with the next little bit? Please. Pretty please. I gave you a sweet. Gracie, well done. Malachi, come on. Come on, give us a hand. Give us a hand. Anybody else? What about on the back row? Would you be very kind and help me? Yeah? No? Would you? I just want you to hold some pieces of paper up. It's not very scary. I just need, how many do I need? I need 5 volunteers then. So we've got to. Berry, come on down. Marilyn, come on, thank you. That's 4, 1 more. Oh, hi. Hi, hello. Isn't he great? I love Teddy. Right, so. Not allowed to see the answers before we've started. Who was the, what was the name of the first man in the Bible?
What?
Concentrate, Barry, concentrate. What was the name of the first man in the Bible? Who do we think it might be? Yes, Barry. Adam, really? Yes. There you go, you can hold that name. And so, what do we think was the name of his wife? Well done, Gracie, that is correct. Next question. This is a bit more tricky. You need to be thinking about this Joseph story. What was the name of Jacob's father? Begins with an I. Yes, Marilyn wins the prize. Next question. Who was the father of all the tribes of Israel? Yeah, you? Yeah. Jacob, well done. Malachi, the last question. Who became the... Okay, okay. Malachi, what is the question to the answer, Joseph? Okay, well done, everybody. Right, now, so, hold the sheets up nice and high so that the grown-ups can see the names. There we are. So the question is, what do all these people have in common? So we've got Adam and Eve, Joseph, Isaac, and Jacob. What have they all got in common? Hands up. Any answers? Yes. Okay, I can see there could be a range of answers to this question. There is another answer I was thinking of to do with a story that we have today. Okay, Holly. Yeah, they're all in Genesis. I actually thought it was an easy question, particularly when I'd stuck Adam and Eve in. Right, so all of these people were deceived. Yeah. So Adam was deceived by Eve. Eve was deceived by the serpent. Isaac was deceived by Jacob into giving up Esau's birthright. Jacob was deceived by his 10 older sons into thinking that Joseph was dead when he wasn't. And actually, he'd been deceived twice. I wonder about his character, actually, because he was deceived, if we remember, by Laban when he was trying to work for Rachel to be his wife. He worked 7 years and then another 7 years because he was tricked. So poor old Jacob had quite a hard time of it, didn't he? But actually, I think Joseph is the odd one out, isn't he? Because Joseph, actually, in the story, was the deceiver. Yeah. Okay, so well done, everybody. I think now you guys are going to go out with Barbara. Not out with Barbara. We've got to keep them longer. Okay, we'll keep them a bit longer. So, in the story of Joseph there, we have a bit of a theme going on, which would appear to have been the result, actually, of generations of deceptions going on. Sometimes we have to think about generational things, don't we? I must apologise, that was a bit of a dodgy video, a bit of a dodgy presentation of the story. We don't see any reflection of magic going on, do we, in the story? Which is taken from Genesis 42 and 43. And also in the story, we didn't see any servant as a go-between. That was how they got over the whole issue of the brothers not recognising Joseph, wasn't it? So they used this go-between so he didn't have to speak directly to them. And I'm not going to read the story through because it's quite a long 2 chapters. So if you want to go home and read those 2 chapters, then that is great. But don't go beyond that because then you'll be getting into next week's story. So there we were in Canaan, where they didn't have the prophetic insight that they'd had in Egypt through Joseph, knowing, being able to say that the famine was going to come after the 7 good years. So there they were in Canaan, running out of food. But they had heard that there were grain stores in Egypt. So Jacob and the family, Jacob sends his 10 older sons to buy the grain. So we saw, didn't we, how Joseph was suddenly and unexpectedly confronted by his brothers. He would have had no idea that they were going to appear in front of him. So that was all a bit of a shock. Obviously thinking, I need some time to think about this. I don't know if I want them to recognize me. I could imagine that, you see, he's going to look completely different for a start, isn't he? Because he's wearing all of that Egyptian clothing. They had different ways of, they had little sort of beards, didn't they, the Egyptians? Not the full beards that they would have had living in Canaan. So I think he would have looked quite different. But it's interesting about the voice issue, isn't it? Because we've all of us got a unique voice. And it would have been interesting to think about whether the brothers would have recognised the voice. Or actually, are we in a situation a bit like the road to Emmaus, where the disciples didn't recognise Jesus, that actually it was just a part of God's plan that they wouldn't recognise Joseph? We'll actually never know that bit of the story. But the other bit of the story that we really don't understand is why he put the money in the sacks of grain. Was he overcome with an idea of just generosity? Or did he do it to wrongfoot them? You know, to make them feel guilty, just, you know, to make them ask questions about this governor? Was he tricking them and trying to get them into trouble? Was he actually trying to create an atmosphere of fearfulness? You know, they didn't know how long the famine was going to last, whether they'd have to go back. They'd had to leave a brother anyway. They were supposed to take Benjamin back. So there was a whole lot of questions going on. Mind games, you might like to call them. Yeah, so, but we'll never know because it's not written into the story. But we might expect that there would be some sort of reckoning in the sense of Joseph had been very wronged, hadn't he, by his brothers. And there's that kind of sense of what is Joseph going to do? Is he going to try and get his own back? What is the outcome of this story going to be? He was obviously emotional because there is a reference in the story to say that he had to hold back his tears, particularly when he saw Benjamin. That was just, and you can imagine, he was the only one of them actually that was his full blood brother. Both had the same mum, Rachel. And I can imagine if that had been my siblings, how I would have, it really would have been a very emotional time. What I wanted to just pick out of this was the whole issue about being deceived. And interestingly, Jesus says in Matthew 24, when the disciples are asking about the end of the age, and Jesus is telling them he's actually going to come again, and Jesus says, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." So Jesus, the bottom line is saying, do not be alarmed. And actually, it was interesting, Neil, that you brought that just now about when we come, keeping Jesus the center. And that is what Jesus is saying. We can trust him. He is actually the center of everything. So just thinking about how we might be deceived, I think before we come to know Jesus as a Lord and Savior, we're deceived by the world convincing us that it is the answer to everything, isn't it? We can work hard and earn enough money to keep ourselves. It is just a complete deception that somehow our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs will all be met somehow out there by one means or another. But actually, that is just a complete deception, because it is only Jesus that can supply all our needs. He was the one that died, that gave his life for us, that we might be saved. Some of us may have believed the lie that if we work hard enough, we'll go to heaven. And we know also that's a deception, isn't it? We can't work our way into heaven. It's a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. And yes, God sets us work to do, and work that will bless us and is an outworking of our faith, but it won't get us to heaven on its own. Sometimes we're told or led, to believing that maybe when you become a Christian, everything's going to be hunky-dory, there's never going to be any more problems, and then we suddenly find that actually life carries on. And life does carry on. Very rarely does it mean that we're going to go off and be a monk in a monastery, completely separate from the world, you know, and isolated from all the world's problems. Actually, the difference is that we have Jesus next to us, in us, and a whole, you know, part of that ongoing journey. And that's what makes the difference. And you become part of a, hopefully, a body of the church where you can be loved and encouraged and helped, supported, and belonging. You may have also been led to believe that God doesn't see you or care for you. As time goes on and we walk in the Christian walk, actually, the enemy comes along and says, you know what, you might have given your life to Jesus, you know, several years ago, but he doesn't love you anymore. Think of all the things you've done. And he starts to just wheedle his way into our mind, doesn't he? But actually, God does care for us. In Jeremiah, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. That's actually an awesome thought, isn't it? That God has always known us. He knew us then. He knows us now. And that, don't ever let anybody tell you or misunderstand how God feels about us. We are sons and daughters of the King. So that makes us princes and princesses, actually, doesn't it? Does that make you feel good? Makes me feel great. I've even got a rock at home that says princess on it, just to remind me. Is that a bit strange? Long story. Ask me tomorrow at the barbecue. So, our food for thought today. None of us chose to be deceived if we found ourselves in any of those circumstances. We need to be alert to the lies of the enemy and respond positively, because he prowls around us and he plays mind games with us if we let him. That's why it says in the Bible about renewing our minds, keeping that focus on Jesus and what Jesus says and the promises of Jesus which are true. So believe the truth today. Believe that Jesus died for each and every one of us. We're all his favourites. He created us and sees us all perfect. He will provide for all our needs, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Whatever troubles living in this world may bring, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that is just such a simple thing to remember, isn't it? The joy of the Lord. I can't tell you how many times in the last year, when I've been struggling with things, I've put on music that's going to lift my spirit, and it's given me strength. And I also believe, and hopefully you do too, that he has an awesome plan for my life, and he doesn't make any mistakes. Yeah. So that is my very short point for today. Thank you very much.